I'm Jess.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are
the Iggy Parents.
Welcome to episode 59.
This is what we've learned from dog school.
Since we're moving back to Toronto, we have been thinking about all the things that we are going to add to our schedule and add to our lifestyle. And one of them is dog school.
So it is something that we jumped right into with Adelaide when she came home.
Days after having Adelaide, we were already in puppy socialization classes.
And it's something that we didn't really realize we were missing with Phoebe.
Right. We wanted to sign her up for classes, but we were a little nervous. One, because it was the height of COVID-19 in our area. Mm-hmm. Everything was shut down, locked down. Some training facilities were open. But again, if we had been in Toronto and been in our local area, we would have felt more comfortable going back to the school where Adelaide was trained. But going to a new school where we're not sure of the methods and we're not sure of the trainers there, we were just too nervous to go and decided to try our best at home.
Mm-hmm. But it is kind of difficult to do the training on our own, especially during this time when we didn't really go out and we didn't have reason to put these things into practice.
So right, we didn't see, we didn't know was missing from her training.
Yeah. So if the only time that we need to have her walk well on the leash is when we're just out on a normal walk, like it's fine for them to go and sniff and smell what's around. But if we're in Toronto and we're on a busy street and we're going somewhere, if we're going inside a store that allows dogs, that's a very different situation where they need to be much better behaved. So it's those kinds of situations that we haven't found ourselves in the last year that it feels like we're going to need that training when we start doing things in the city again.
I think as well, like interactions with new people and new dogs, it's just all going to be heightened when we move back downtown. So getting Phoebe as prepared as she can be with the aid of dog school, I think is just our best choice here. And that's why we're so excited to talk to you about our experience with Adelaide in dog school and how we think it's going to shape Phoebe's life. Before we get into the episode, pup dates.
Yeah. So pup dates about ourselves. It feels like kind of our entire episodes recently, or the one two episodes ago, was like a full update about what's going on with the dogs in our lives. But we have a specific update about us and the business that we run.
The Iggy Parents.
Yeah.
Inspired by Tori Mystic, which we have talked about her before. We're in the Werewag Repeat Society. She's got an amazing podcast. If you haven't listened to that, definitely have a listen if you have any interest in petpreneuring, starting a business around your pet. She's an amazing host, amazing interviewer, and just overall great dog mom resource.
So she has inspired us to sign up for Marie Forleo's Bee School, which is an online business school that is a 6-week training course that we will then have access to. Sorry to say the sign-up window has just finished. And by that, I mean we signed up 3 hours before the final date because...
left it to the last second.
Yeah, we were listening to Marie's audiobook, which was kind of her philosophy that led into this business school. And we were just very inspired by the things that she was doing. We were finding even the first few days of listening to her free course and then listening to her book, we were inspired to try and figure out what we want out of this business.
Yeah. And for both of us, just like Tori described as well, she never went to school for business specifically. And I just think this is going to be a really great opportunity for you and me, Ryan, to be able to focus our energy towards something we're working on together. But also, we have our own endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working towards my TikTok / new YouTube channel, all talking about Lululemon clothing, body positivity, fitness, and basically giving clothing reviews for Lululemon, where we are affiliates as well, and sort of growing a business around that.
Yeah. So when we first signed up as an affiliate or you, but like we, because we signed up with Adelaide's account and your Instagram account. But
right,
since
the
then,
Lululemon Collective is what it's called.
Yes.
If you want to look into it, it's on Lululemon's website. It's for fitness professionals or even just Lululemon enthusiasts. Anyone who wants to promote Lululemon and in exchange get a commission for any sales that are made through your link.
But when we signed up for that, it was Adelaide's following that was very impressive at the time. But I think you now have more followers than Adelaide did at that point.
At least on TikTok, for sure.
On TikTok, that's what I mean, yeah.
And TikTok is the way of the future, as we've been learning firsthand.
If you would like to hear more about that, you can sign up for our Patreon and listen to our social media podcast.
We're just plug. But it's true. We've talked about it a lot. And there are some freebies if you want to listen to the intro segments of Real Talk to get a feel for what we're going to talk about. Have a listen to those too. They're free.
So Be School by Marie Forleo is going to help us streamline what we offer. I think there's an aspect of figuring out what our audience wants from us, if we have an audience already, trying to get more people onto our email subscriber list so we can let them know what we're up to. So again, another plug, if you want to sign up for our newsletter, theiggyparents.com/newsletter. And we're going to figure out what kind of products or services we can make that will best serve you.
Because at heart, we really love creating this content.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working towards finding ways of turning it into a business. And while it is a lovely side business, we're really passionate about it and wanting to take this to be a full-time gig. But of course, baby steps. And I think one of these big steps we're taking is really investing the time and money into it.
Jess was talking about her Lululemon account that she has, but I have also started a TikTok account about Pokemon. So going through my vintage and somewhat newer, maybe a few years old, Pokemon collection. And I have also started working on another hobby of woodworking. And I'm trying to figure out if I can combine those in some way. Figure out what kind of cool products I could make for Pokemon or Nintendo or video game enthusiasts. So maybe wooden deck boxes so that you can carry your cards and have a nice object that you like, or some sort of stand for your Nintendo Switch or a wireless charger for your phone that is themed with Pokemon or something like that. So I am working on that alongside Jess working on her Lulu thing, and the both of us working on the Iggy Parents. So we have three notebooks on the go right now for this one course.
You might think it's too much, but we're just very passionate. And as actors, I feel like you have to be entrepreneurial about life because you're always fighting for the next gig.
Right. We want to be able to continue to do what we like and what we're good at, even if on the surface, it doesn't make financial sense. So how this has been a side job for now, we would love it if in the next period of time, it becomes a full-time thing.
Yeah.
As Marie says, right near the beginning of her course and her books, if you have something you think is of value to people, you have a duty to make sure that they know about it.
Right. It's your responsibility to get it out there.
Yeah. And we really do, because we really believe in the Italian Greyhound breed. We really believe in what we're about to talk about, positive reinforcement in dog training. And we think that if more people knew about these dogs, that they would love them just as much as we do.
I think on that note, let's hop into the topic for today.
We've got kind of a top five things that we have learned from dog school about training and just about ourselves in general.
But, you know, we might add more than five. Who knows?
There's maybe a few sub points and tangents that are going to happen. But
tangent me?
Never. So our first point here is about the importance of puppy socialization. So Jess, do you want to define that for us?
Right. So puppy socialization, when I first started looking up dog training, I know we reached out to our online community as we had already sort of launched ourselves into this Instagram world and Facebook groups for Italian Greyhounds. And I started asking questions. What kind of training do you get for your dog right away? I took my family's dog to a puppy school. I remember they gave awards at the end of the training and my dog got the cutest puppy award, which is like so adorable. But also, was she dumb? Did she She's not the best dog, not the most behaved dog, but she was the cutest puppy. But anyways.
We want our dogs to be both.
Yes, cute and smart. But I didn't really know anything about training in 2019. So we started looking up places that were recommended to us, and we noticed one facility called When Hounds Fly, which we'd highly recommend if you're from Toronto. And their classes for puppy school were actually called puppy socialization. And I thought to myself, what on earth is that? Puppy social hour? Like, is it just recess? I don't know what this is. But we looked into it, and it's actually really, really amazing. So again, I'm not going to be sure if there is something called puppy socialization where you are in particular, if that's what your dog school calls it. But for puppy socialization, the classes were for puppies that were unvaccinated because they could mingle with each other as long as they didn't mingle with other dogs. Because in the beginning, you don't want to bring your dog sort of out into the world and expose them to things when they haven't been vaccinated and they have to wait to be vaccinated because they're not old enough for it. So it's this weird in-between time where you can really get a lot of learning in, and it's a really crucial time in the development of puppies. There are certain times in a puppy's life where they experience things for the first time, and it helps to develop who they become. So for puppy socialization, we brought Adelaide, after a few days she had been home, straight to puppy socialization, and it was kind of like kindergarten.
Right. So you're still learning a few skills, but there's also getting to interact and play with other dogs, like Jess was saying, until they're 4 months old and have their full vaccinations. That doesn't really happen. That they unless you're sure of the dogs that you're going to meet up with, you don't want to just bring them to the dog park or anything. You even need to be cautious about letting them smell like urine on the side of the street, because it might be from an infected dog that could cause a problem for your unvaccinated puppy.
Right. And there's even some laws, depending on where you live in the world, that they have laws where you can't actually let a brand new puppy on public spaces.
But there's also training skills and getting them used to some things like vacuum cleaners and skateboards and thunder noises, right? There's this concept of socialization is about more than just being social, like interacting with people and other dogs. It's about making sure that they're well adjusted to society and things that are going to happen in their life.
Right, the desensitization.
Yes.
That we practiced at home, trying to play with Adelaide's feet, get her used to the feeling for when we wanted to clip her nails. But this was a way of exposing Adelaide to social situations with both new humans, with new dogs. And I remember back to her first class, I think we wrote a blog about it, and she was nervous. Another thing about puppy socialization you should realize as well is hopefully you are at a facility that has enough interest in puppy socialization that they can pair you off into groups of small dogs and big dogs.
Hmm.
But be aware that you may have a group of puppies that are not all made the same. A husky puppy is not the same as a chihuahua puppy, is not the same as a German shepherd puppy, is not the same as an Iggy puppy, etc. I could go on forever. But on our first class, I think Adelaide was the smallest one there. I mean, she was very tiny when she came home to us, 3 pounds something.
Yeah.
And we put her in right away, 3 pounds, into dog school or puppy socialization classes. And she was shy and she kind of kept to us. She didn't play that much during the break times. She was very focused and interested in the training portion of things. So like we said, it's a combination of both training and socialization. So you would do a little training and then have a break and leashes off, and they would run free and play around, sniff around, learn. And the really cool thing I loved as well is that the dog trainers would narrate what was going on. So every time a dog would show a sign of either like green light behavior, happy wagging their tail, or like yellow light or red light behavior, tail tucked between the legs, shaking, etc., then the trainer would narrate what was going on and be able to sort of facilitate or be a bit of a referee in a situation that was maybe going south. So I always felt like our dog or our puppy was protected and safe but I also learned about dogs' behavior, and I could see it in other people's dogs, and it helped inform my knowledge of behavior in dogs in general, which was really cool. So again, puppy socialization, so many things you're going to learn. Your dog is going to learn some basic skills, but they're also getting this chance to mingle and learn about the world in a public setting, a controlled public setting. And yeah, this first point is just the importance of puppy socialization. And I think that to sum this all up, Adelaide is so social. Now, age 2, she is one of the friendliest dogs, Iggies, for a breed that is seen as often shy.
Mm-hmm.
She, not to say she's not aloof, she is a bit aloof and likes to be on her own at home. But when she sees a new dog, when she sees a new dog from the window, she kind of whimpers because she just wants to go up and see them, but she can't. It's this strong desire to be with others that I think we can attribute to going to puppy socialization classes.
And then when you compare that to Phoebe, she is afraid of meeting new people and even sometimes does her little kind of baby bark and backs away from a lot of situations. I feel like Phoebe has her backing up step kind of perfected at this point.
I know, she even backs up to poop. Like she's afraid of her own poop. I don't know.
She is also very sensitive to sounds. So if you saw a video that we posted a couple of days ago of Jess singing.
It's not that bad, I promise.
Phoebe just had never heard her sing full operatic soprano and was really unsure of what was going on. And then basically started barking back at you, singing back at you.
She's like squealing.
Yeah.
And like did this funny hop and was like doing like the zoomies.
So those are the kinds of things that, no, there's not going to be training specifically for opera singing, but there
goes to puppy socialization and Jess just sings everywhere.
Just see how all the dogs react to this.
Hope I didn't break the mic.
But Phoebe in general is sensitive to sounds. And maybe if she had more experiences at the beginning of her life, then that might not have been something that we need to work on once we finally do get her in a training routine.
Right. Things that set her off. Babies crying on TV. Dogs barking on TV. The sound of traffic going by. Anyone opening the front door. Her seeing people outside of Ryan's parents' store and her seeing them approach the building. She starts howling. She's actually learned how to howl as well. Anything else that you can think of top of your head?
Unfamiliar voices.
Yep.
People
coming out of the shower.
Yes. If you look slightly different, if you have a towel on your head.
If you look different.
Then
she doesn't like
she's
it.
She's unsure about it. And the other part of this is that there are some basic commands that we have not worked on with Phoebe that she just doesn't know yet.
I think the biggest one for me that I'm disappointed in ourselves for not sort of locking this one in early, and now it's going to become like this big thing that we need to teach her. But I'm really sad that we didn't teach her stay or wait, because I feel like she was the smallest puppy in her litter. Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, miracle puppy. We're so grateful and lucky that she's here with us. We have an episode about the birth story of Phoebe's litter, and you can have a listen to that episode if you're interested in hearing about how she was born. But she was very, very tiny, and I think just super affectionate because, maybe she was babied a bit. Not to put any blame on our breeder. She did an amazing job socializing during COVID the best she could. But I do feel like maybe Phoebe, as well being the second child in our household, had to fight for attention because she felt maybe threatened by Adelaide already being here. And so because of this wanting to be sort of babied or have the attention, she always comes up and licks your face right away. She always comes up, she's jumping at the back of your legs. And yes, you could say, oh, that's puppy energy. But this is different than Adelaide. Adelaide never really cared that much. And I feel like Adelaide would listen to us because we had trained her with stay or wait. And instead, Phoebe's instincts are, oh, I don't wait for anything. And that also manifests in Phoebe being the first person in every photo we take. first person, first dog. So we have the dogs beside each other. When I pull the camera out, Adelaide looks at the lens, or Adelaide will look if I bring my finger over on top of the camera. And we trained her to look at the camera lens. But Phoebe goes towards the camera. Like, she thinks, oh, you want me to come to your fingers, or you want me to come to the camera? And she just walks right up to it. And this now throws a perspective off in a lot of our photos, and a lot of people think that Phoebe is bigger than Adelaide, and it's just not true. It's an illusion. But anyways, long story short, I really want to teach her stay and wait, and just to create that practice of patience, because I feel like she just wants everything right now, and she wants your love, and she wants to please you.
Yeah, and even in normal life, it can sometimes make it a little difficult to get the food out, to pour the food, and she will not give you the space because we haven't taught it to her.
Right. I will say, however, she's done a really good job with drop it and leave it.
Yes.
That she will listen to us and she will drop something immediately out of her mouth, whereas Adelaide is a little bit more cheeky and she kind of...
She will eventually.
Yeah.
But
Phoebe, because she's such a people pleaser, she really will drop it. But again, it's the instinct to go get something or do something. She doesn't have any sort of willpower to stop. But then if she does do something that we as humans deem as incorrect or unhealthy for her, like if she grabs something she shouldn't, she does end up listening. So I think she's going to be really great in dog school.
So do you want to talk about the differences between puppy socialization and dog foundations? Those are the terms from When Hounds Fly that we've been to, the terms that your dog school might be different.
Right. So if you're looking up a class at a facility that has dog training, look for puppy socialization or puppy school if you are looking to train a puppy, and make sure that you know the requirements, because even if your dog is a puppy, you may not fall under the right age group. Like we said, our puppy socialization classes were for dogs that were unvaccinated so they could all mingle together unvaccinated. But look into as well what the structure of the classes are, and if it is more of like puppy socialization where they're getting to meet each other, or if there is training and what sort of basic commands are they working on. Just looking into that if you are interested in puppy socialization. Now, dog foundations, on the other hand, that is the course that we took at When Hounds Fly. This is going to look different for every facility, but for us, dog foundations was the sort of solidifying of the basic skills we learned in puppy school, puppy socialization, but there was no playtime. There was no sort of recess. Everyone stuck to their own section. We actually were even sectioned off with barriers. And this was to help your dog focus on just you and the task at hand, as opposed to, again, the puppy socialization, which we would all run free and the dogs would get to mingle. With our Dog Foundations course, we really solidified those same basic techniques and basic skills for Adelaide, and I think maybe dove a little deeper into them. However, it was not a course that was training the dog for any special behaviors or tricks and agility, anything like that. There are more options available. And if those options are not available at your particular dog school, it doesn't mean that your facility is not the right one for you. But if you're looking for more training, again, look into it, see what's available in your area, and maybe you go from one dog school to the next, and your dog can take further courses and further training.
So the next thing that we learned from going to dog school was about the importance of patience in training. And the biggest way that this plays out is that you have to let them figure it out for themselves. If you have something that you want to get them to do, there's a few different techniques to get them to do it. But in the end, you can't just keep repeating your question, or you can't try and force them physically into a position that you want them, like pushing their butt down to sit or anything like that, to effectively get them to learn the behavior. So for Adelaide, it was really difficult for us to try and teach her down. Because she was so small, the basic way to get that done is to pull the treat down towards the ground And dogs that are bigger are then uncomfortable to be that close to the ground, so they just put their butt down and then they get the treat. But Adelaide, A, being like having that puppy energy and being so determined when she was, and being so close to the ground, she would just persist and try and keep going after the treat. Even if it's directly on the ground, she could still stand with her back legs up.
Our trainer said it's the Iggy equivalent of planking, or human equivalent for an Iggy of planking. I'm like, oh, wow, I guess she's working her core there.
Yep, she's got strong little legs to hold herself up.
Strong long legs and like flexible, I guess. But yeah, having patience, and when you give your dog, or you ask your dog for a or cue for your dog to sit, stay, whatever it is, even if you're not using language, even if you're just using a hand signal or a treat or trying to capture behavior, we'll talk about that in a second. Whatever technique you're using to get your dog to do something, it requires a lot of patience for you to wait for your dog and not try and rush the process. And I think on a bigger scale, having patience is really good for yourself as well, because dog training is hard and you're going to have setbacks. You're going to train your dog to do something and they're really, really great. And then you go on vacation and you come back home and your dog's forgotten everything that they've learned. Well, that's not their fault. It's like flexing a muscle. You have to practice and you have to have patience with the dog and yourself, trusting the process that you will create great habits in your dog's life and your lifestyle and your bond together through this training.
And another aspect of, like Jess was saying, if you go on vacation and they've forgotten it, that can also happen with a change of location or scenery or situation. That if there's something more interesting, more distracting, they are not going to be able to do the behavior that you know that they're able to do.
Right. So if you're in dog school and they get everything perfect every time, and then you take them to the dog park or you take them to a park and you ask them to sit and they don't do it, again, you have to be understanding, you have to be patient and keep practicing, keep at it, because changing that location might be just the thing to set them off.
Okay, next, let's talk about the benefits of positive reinforcement for Italian Greyhounds in particular, but as a training method in general for dogs.
It's really important to make sure you know what kind of a training method is being used at a facility that you're going to, or if you're using a private trainer, to know what methods they use. For us, again, we didn't know much about dog training. I had only had experience taking my dog to puppy school, and that was in the 90s. So things have changed, and it has been proven that positive reinforcement is the best way to create a happy, well-trained dog and relationship with your dog.
And just so everyone knows what we're talking about, when we say positive reinforcement, we mean that you reward good behavior with treats and attention and praise. But the punishment aspect of this is just the absence of those things. So you don't give them the treat. You don't give them the attention, as opposed to using some sort of physical punishment or yelling or even giving them something that tastes bad to make
or
sure that...
Or spray bottles, water.
Yeah. Things that are just uncomfortable for the dog. You just want them to not get the good thing, as opposed to get a bad thing.
Right. And for When Hounds Fly, again, we've talked about this facility because we know that they're really great and had a really positive experience there. But they have an article, and on their site, they describe what kind of training they do and what their training methods are. And they actually mention that dog training is one of the unregulated industries out there today. And anyone can open a dog school, a dog training facility. So you do not have to have any sort of regulation. And while there are training methods and there are programs, you don't have to have any of those credentials to open a studio or facility. So always do your research and look into it and see if you are allowed to go to the facility and watch a class. I know for us, we watched a class before we did the orientation for Adelaide, and we were able to see that as well as YouTube videos. The dog school had YouTube videos available showing methods that they used. So in this article from When Hounds Fly, they talk about clicker training and how clicker training in 2010, when they opened their facility, was not hugely known or popular. However, now people request clicker training and ask if they do clicker training. So this is something we learned as well. What is clicker training? Clicker training is a way of describing positive reinforcement training where the tool you use is clicking.
So it's a small plastic device that has a button and makes a distinct clicking noise. And you use that to mark the behavior. There's also a variant of this where you use a marker word like yes, which then basically tells your dog when they hear the click sound or when they hear the word yes, they are going to receive a treat or praise or something good that they've done the request correctly.
Right. So the tools they use are clickers or food rewards, toys. So you would reward your dog with a play session, like a quick play of tug, or praise. Good boy, good girl, good dog. And a question a lot of people have about clicker training or using food rewards is, if I use these positive reinforcement tools, is my dog going to require that for every time I expect them or want them to do the behavior? And while in the beginning, maybe your answer is yes, eventually you start to wean them off of the treats or the clicking or praise, and it becomes more habitual for your dog to do the behavior without expecting a reward every time. That's when the behavior is actually learned and not still in the process of figuring it out. I remember in the beginning with our training that I thought you would just use treats to train your dog when they said, oh, food rewards. Okay, I'll just bring a bag of treats. And the instruction for the course said specifically, do not bring your everyday treats for your dog. Because in this kind of training where it's really focused and you're working really hard, you want them to perform their best. And they perform their best when you use a high value treat. So for Adelaide, in the beginning, we used tiny, tiny, tiny pieces of hot dogs all chopped up. And while this was easy for us to chop up nice and small and use, and she really liked it, I think it was better for her stomach when we used chicken. And we were able to shred this fresh chicken into tiny, tiny pieces, and it could go a little further than the hot dog.
Okay. In this article, I think they also talk about things that they specifically do not use. So could you give us a list of the things they don't do that kind of exclude a training facility from being a positive reinforcement facility?
Right. Signs that the facility you're going to might not be positive reinforcement or that they use negative reinforcement punishment would be tools like leash corrections on any collar, whether it's a flat, martingale, choke, or prong collar. Shock collars. The use of shock collars, e-collars, is not positive reinforcement. Spray bottles. Scary noises. If you toss a bag full of chains or coins at the dogs, I've heard of people saying that this is a way to get your dog to stop barking. But again, this is not a positive reinforcement tool. And
right. It's something negative. It's something they don't like that comes from a behavior.
Right. By using something like that, you're actually instilling fear in the dog. And especially with Italian Greyhounds, they are so sensitive. It's just not the best way to get the best behavior out of them. And another tool that a positive reinforcement training facility would not use is physical corrections. So pokes, jabs, smacks, pinches, or kicks. A lot of these corrections have been used in methods in the past. And a lot of people currently today may not recognize that they're no longer sort of the standard of what training for dogs should be. And so you may go to a facility maybe you went to 20 years ago, but they haven't changed their methods. And again, you just want to look into it and see what they're doing. Lastly, another tool that would not be positive reinforcement is yelling and intimidation. So if you're growling at the dogs or staring the dogs down. One of the things I remember from dog school with Adelaide was learning about your dog as not a wolf or a member of a pack. So while a lot of people believe that because dogs came from wolves, that they still currently live in this sort of pack mentality, well, it's true, they came from wolves. However, this sort of like alpha or like dominance philosophy about the pack can sometimes be a hindrance to your training. So I remember we were in puppy school and someone said, oh, if I let my dog win tug of war, doesn't it show them that they're now the alpha and I'm below them and now they're going to be disrespectful to me and they're going to bite me or do something bad to me? And I loved the analogy that our trainer gave. She said, it's not that playing that tug of war game now means that you're below your dog. You have to imagine that you're playing this tug of war game like you would play Monopoly with your kids. And if you're playing Monopoly with your kids and your kid won, do you think that your kid now thinks that they rule the household? No. They still know you give them their food on the table. They still know you're the one who pays the bills. They're not going to act out just because they feel like they won a board game. So I just loved that analogy. I was like, oh yeah, I do hear a lot of people worry about their dogs like being an alpha and like taking over the house and being aggressive towards humans. And it's okay to let your dog win the tug of war. It's not about that.
Okay, the next thing that we learned about dog training when we went for the first time was about the different techniques that they use. So their overall philosophy is about positive reinforcement, but there's some specific moves and things you can do to coax your dog into doing the behavior that you're asking them. So one is capturing a behavior. So if you're working on something and out of the blue, they do the thing that you were hoping they would do, then you just mark that as if it was exactly what you were asking for. You don't write off an accident. You mark that with the clicker and praise and treats. And then in the future, they're trying to figure out what it was they did that got them that positive reward.
So for example, if you wanted your dog to stretch on command, the next time they stretch, mark that behavior, capture it, give them a treat or use the clicker or give them praise. And that would help you towards building up that command.
You can then do things like luring, where you're using food and you kind of pull them into the position that you want. So if you get a piece of food really close to their nose, they are going to follow that like a magnet. And if that means you tilt their head all the way back and it makes their butt fall down and now they've done a sit, excellent. That's a great way to get them to do it while it being a positive experience because they're just trying to get this food.
Right. And then there's another technique that, again, I don't remember if we specifically talked about this at When Hounds Fly, but I know we covered all of these sort of aspects of the training. But there's also a technique called shaping. And this is when you break down a behavior into really easy steps. And then you reward your dog for making the small steps towards whatever your end goal is. So I know we mentioned this earlier, but down was really hard for us and Adelaide to get her all the way down, elbows down to the ground. And we would use different techniques or ways to get there. And sometimes it was a stepwise motion where we would get Adelaide to go, I think they called it like the bridge or something, and she would go underneath our knees. So if we were sitting on the floor, we lifted our knee up, one knee, and got Adelaide by using the treats, we would lure her through and slowly, slowly get her under the leg. And it wasn't scary or intimidating because, I mean, she lies on her legs all the time. It wasn't something really out there. And that was kind of the most effective way we got her to do the down position for the first time.
So these are, again, all things and techniques that we did not know going into this. And I'm really grateful that we have them. The biggest thing for me is, well, our last point here, actually, that this training is going to be as much for you as it is for them. So it's about you learning the patience the same as they need to learn the patience. It's about building a relationship between you and your dog. And then depending on the situation, or kind of no matter the situation, you can rely on each other to make sure you'll get through the situation okay.
Right. I'm really looking forward to going back to dog school because it was a huge accountability opportunity for us. And when we first started going, or when we were going to Dog Foundations with Adelaide, the second training, We were doing Training Tuesdays where we would feature a video of us, what we learned this week at dog school and how Adelaide was doing and what tips we learned. And it was a way to sort of document it and keep us accountable for going to class and doing the exercise outside of class. Now, you could say, oh, well, Jess and Ryan, you already went to dog school. You already spent the money. You already know what to do. Like, why are you going to go back to training if it's really just about you and not your dog? It's about you and the training that you are getting. Why are you going back then? You already did dog school. This is a second dog. You should know. Well, like I was saying about accountability, it's like homework as a kid. If you didn't have school the next day, did you really want to do it? I mean, maybe you did. But for us, we've learned all of these skills with Adelaide, and I am sure there are so many we've forgotten. I am sure there's so much that we don't remember about dog school, and maybe we're going to do a dog school episode 2.0, and we're going to give you an update from Phoebe's perspective and how she did at puppy school or dog school. She's too old for puppy school now, so we're going to take her to Dog Foundations, but again, it's never too late to train your dog, and never too late to form that bond.
And I'm looking forward to going back, because even when we were in the thick of it and going to training and we knew what we were doing, I often found I couldn't think of what to work on with Adelaide. And it's like, okay, we have sit, down, and stay. Okay, what else? What else can we work on? And I think going into this for a second time, that is going to be one of my goals, is to think about all of the situations that require training, as opposed to, great, she's got this down, like easy peasy, which is she can sit in the middle of our living room. But what happens if she's sitting and someone knocks on the door? Does that change how she does? Can she sit when we're out on a walk? Like, there's all these situations and things that I think, when you think about it in the abstract, makes sense. But when you're just trying to sit down and do this training, it can be very difficult to think of a training regimen, a routine.
I think as well, one of the really great skills that Adelaide was working on was go to mat. And this was something that for us, we just did in the apartment, go to mat or a yoga mat outside. But our trainer, again, we were in downtown Toronto, our trainer recommended using go to mat by bringing a small yoga mat with you, even to ride on public transit.
Yeah.
And get your dog to go to the mat and stay there and know that it's their safe place. So I think you're right. Coming from a perspective of a city dog owner, and what skills can we work on with Phoebe, especially because she missed out on the socialization in the beginning of her life?
Mm-hmm.
I think that this would be a really great goal to document for us. And maybe you'll see a Training Tuesday again. Maybe you won't. We got a lot of things to work on, as we explained at the start of this episode. But we're also very passionate and ambitious.
Right.
So.
And it was something that was looming large in our lives, so we just couldn't help but post about it. But we're not dog trainers ourselves, so we were regurgitating and kind of documenting our process of training. So, like you say, maybe that's not going to be coming back, but we really do, once we get back into dog school, want to make the training a bigger part of our lives moving forward.
Especially if we want to get Phoebe into dog shows.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not agility, but I mean, she'd be probably pretty good at that.
She's pretty agile.
Yeah. We're working on our doggo ramp. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you have any interest in our Patreon, we have two new podcasts. We've talked about this. There is Bedtime Puppy Tales and Real Talk, where we get real about social media. And we're going into our second month with that. So it's very exciting for us. We will be bringing more content to you, and we look forward to exploring that more. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Iggy Parents.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we'd love if you left us a review. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts help us get discovered by new Iggy parents and dog lovers alike.
You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening or wherever podcasts are found.
Our new vlog is going up on YouTube featuring Phoebe's journey through puppyhood.
Don't miss out on every pup date by subscribing to our newsletter at theiggyparents.com/newsletter.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by The Iggy Parents Shop. If you're looking for another way to support what we do here, check out our merch at theiggyparents.com/shop.
And don't forget to connect with us on Instagram by sharing your thoughts with us and your friends. Tag @TheIggyParents, @ Iggy Adelaide, and now you can even reach us at Iggy Phoebe.
Bye for now from Ryan,
Jess,
Adelaide,
and Phoebe.